and I'm an addict. Let me say this first. It's a lot easier sitting on that side than it is on this side. And I sat on that side a lot of times, poking holes in what I hear or thinking I wanted to be on this side. Secondly, let me say I would be remiss if I didn't ask for a moment of silence for one of our loved ones, one of our members who is not here with us today, and that's Nita Mack. We love you, Nita, and if we could just take one moment of silence. When we get back to the D.C. area, we'll be funeralizing Nita on Thursday, and Nita loved this convention. She loved recovery, and we love Nita. Thank you. And third, let me just get my nervousness out and say, newcomers recover! Yes. Woo! Yes. Five years clean and in this process. And it's only by the grace that I stand here. This program has been an absolute joy and a journey to my life. My father was in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous before he passed, and everybody else in my family has succumbed to the disease of addiction. My mother, my father, my brother, my uncles, my grandmother. So it's not just by happenstance that I was introduced to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm ever grateful for this gift called recovery that my higher power saw fit to bless me with. I don't take it for granted, and I don't take it lightly. And I know it has nothing to do with me at all. Before coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I found myself in a spiritual state that I did not know how to identify. October the 19th, 2005, I wrote a letter at 2 a.m. in the morning saying that I know what it feels like when Maya Angelou said, I know why the caged bird sings. At 2 o'clock in the morning, with three biological children, two adopted nephews, because my sister was the one who was on it and not me, I found myself up, not knowing how to survive life, not knowing how to deal with the grief, not knowing what to do, feeling trapped inside my own body. And I wrote in this letter, like, God, help me. I'm 289 pounds. Food is a comfort for me, and I feel like I'm a prisoner inside my own body. I feel like if you ask me to walk with you to the store, I got to think about it, because I don't know if I'm going to be winded by the time I get to the corner. I feel like people are out of debt. Why am I so consumed with debt? Why is it like never enough? And I make good money, but I'm living paycheck to paycheck and always trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. Why is it that I keep looking for love in all the wrong places, marrying this person and marrying that person when I know it wasn't a good fit and that it didn't satisfy the void that I had in the inside? But at 2 o'clock in the morning, when I cried out to God to help me from this prison that I felt like I was in, because I did not know what to do with myself, it embarked me upon this journey that 5 years later, on November the 10th, 2010, I would come to a place that I feel at home. I would make it into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that I don't care if I go to a meeting in Alaska. When I come through that door, I'm with my sisters and my brothers, and I am at home. I'm not a person that I haven't been to treatment, that I used to even think that I never smoked crack in a crack house, but somebody had to help me. If I smoked crack in my house was a crack house. When I first got here, I identified out because I thought an addict was my junkie uncles and my mother that shot up heroin. And at 5 and 6 years old, I knew what cookers were and needles were and nodding was. So I identified out because I didn't think that that was me. But on November the 10th, 2010, when I came in here, I was the addict that could identify in with the spiritual bottom my life had become. I was Sister Melissa in church when I first got introduced to the rules of Narcotics Anonymous. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I had 14 years of abstaining from a drug or alcohol back in 1995 when I went to my first meeting. But instead of staying downstairs in the basement with you all, I went upstairs. And that was fine. It worked until life showed up on life's turn. When in the midnight hour, and I couldn't feel my higher power, I still didn't know what to do with my emotions. I cut my hair short, I put on some Tams and some sweatpants, and I called myself bisexual. I went to clubs, gay clubs, thinking I can pick up women, but afraid to talk to them. I went to regular straight clubs, but still felt like I don't belong here. Trying to fit in where I didn't fit, and willing to do anything possible to feel loved. But it wasn't until this program, the fellowship, step work, and a relationship with my higher power that I began to break free from the emotional prison that I put my own self in. No longer using drugs and alcohol, when I came in here, I'm all black mingle, black people meet, plenty of fish, Christian mingle, every website I can find, trying to find love. But it's a process, learning to live a different way of life. So after I went through all that, my first year of recovery, 13 steps in here, and being a girlfriend when ain't nobody asked me to be the girlfriend, but because I had the key and the parking pass, it was okay at that time. Until I got tired of volunteering for a self-inflicted fetal position when in the middle of the night, I couldn't stick with myself. Because we've developed a conscience in the rules of Narcotics Anonymous. Yes. I bought into the program. I got every literature that you suggested that I got. I got a sponsor. I started my step work process. I'm in service. I pray for people. I try to seek a conscious contact with the God of my understanding. But at some point, it wasn't enough. I got tired of the internet and dating, but it don't seem like I was going on any dates. They were hookups in my house, and when they left, I'm crying. Sleeping with you when I don't even like you, I don't even know you. Filling the void when it ain't filling it. Right. Oh, being a secret because I think I'm the girlfriend when they asked me to be the girlfriend, but in reality, you got 20 years and I got 2 years, and the math don't match. Tired of repeating the same destructive behavior and not giving myself a chance for the process of this program to work. My sponsor suggested that I journal. And consistently, since I've been in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I journal. So in some of them nights in the midnight hour when I wake up and want to look at my behavior, because my thinking will make me have short-term memory to forget the pain I was just in as a direct result from the behavior that I just participated in. So when I write it in my journal, I have an opportunity to go back and reflect. Change you must, or die you will. Don't allow my disease thinking to lie to me, to think that I don't have to do anything different from what's been presented to me. Because the spiritual part of how my disease affects me is that I'm not aware immediately. of how the spiritual ramifications of my behavior is going to affect me in my relationship with the God of my understanding. But after praying, God, I want to be a wife. I don't want to be a whore. God, I want to be accountable. I want to have integrity. I want to practice honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I began to see the evidence that you can let go before the expiration point. You can say that this is just not working for me. It might be okay with you that I'm the secret, but it's just not working for me. It wasn't until a few years ago that I found that letter that I wrote to myself back in 2005. And I had an opportunity to reflect that God has always, always, always been there for me. This is not a religious program, but it is a spiritual program. And I need to be able to connect with my spirit if I want to grow around here. You know, and it's taken opportunities for me to practice something different and for me not to give up on myself. To learn how to be loving and caring to my own self. And then to learn how to be consistent. It wasn't easy ending relationships because I feared nobody else wasn't going to knock on the door. And I'm not talking about just romantic relationships. Some platonic relationships are not healthy or beneficial as well too. But I can allow my thinking to have me trapped to think that it ain't going to get no better than this. Or that I'm okay and I can sleep very well at night, but in my spirit, if I'm not taking the time to pray, to meditate, to be of service to others, it won't connect, it won't feel right. And so I just can't even tell you the freedom that the spiritual principles, not perfection, but just trying to practice them. Try to practice Melissa being honest. Try to practice Melissa loving yourself. Try to practice Melissa having some integrity. Not tearing somebody down and then leaning on a character defect thinking it's a survival skill. Try showing some empathy and some compassion towards somebody else. Not beating them down or tearing them up.
Right.
I heard find the suit that fits you, or better yet, get it a little bit bigger so you can grow into it. This process, you know, a process is steps toward a necessary end. I had a process in active addiction. Every morning when I woke up, I had steps toward a necessary end. To get one more by any means possible. But now, the steps that I have is recovery. I'm not responsible for what I did in active addiction, but I'm responsible for what I do in recovery. You know, and it's not easy to practice spiritual principles before personality. There's some things inside of other people that I see that I judge. That I have something to say, even if it don't come out loud, I think it in my mind. But when I realize that there's a spiritual connection between what I think about you and what I think about me. So the grace that my higher power has extended to me is the grace I try to practice to you. That even though I may not like your behavior, I love you and I recognize I need you. You know, and I say that to the newcomer. Newcomers recover. Don't let anybody beat you down about your recovery. Somebody with one day clean can help somebody with 1 hour clean. Don't need instant gratification. You don't need validation. You don't need people in your network to sanction your bullcrap. God has helped me beyond anything that I can imagine. And not in materialistic things, but in growing up in the inside about the feelings that I thought about myself, the feelings that I felt about myself, having fear about achieving, having fear about thinking I was worthy enough, having fear about thinking I could accomplish things, having fear about thinking that I had anything to offer anybody. But you're worthy, newcomer. Yes. You're worthy, old timer. Yes. You're worthy, yes, of this program and the gifts and the spiritual fruits that is a part of this program. And so what I'm ever so grateful for is that things are not always the way that I want them to be. Right. That I had to look at the part that I played in it, and I had a lot of temper tantrums. But that I locked myself in a box, in a prison, based on my emotions, based on my feelings. It's a fact that we have to feel, but every feeling is not a fact. And I'll leave you with, just like an elephant, when you train it and you chain it to a tree, the elephant will become conditioned that they can only go so far. Take the chain off the elephant, and the elephant will not move from the parameter in which it's been conditioned to. I had to let God out of the box. The same God that was saved me, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, Sister Melissa, in church, is the same God that allowed all of you to feed into me to help me grow up and to help me be a better person in society. So I'm so grateful for this program. And I love each and every one of you. All my family is deceased, but I feel like I got a family now coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, because grief is a trigger. Before I even smoked a drug or alcohol, because my family members had died at a very early age. My mother died when I was 19 years old and she was 33. And my father died when I was 22 and he was 45. And so I buried my brother, my uncles, a whole lot of people. And so grief is a trigger. And I felt like I was alone. I felt like nobody loved me. And I felt like everybody left me. But now, because of recovery and step work, I understand that that's a selfish mentality. They are not gone. They have not left me. But God has replaced them with all of you all. So thank you for being my family, and I love you all. Thank you, Michelle.